Well, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's turn in our Bibles. Hopefully you got those notes. This is something we've preached on before, of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be turning our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. But the notes also give at least an outline of where we are going in the message. And of course, we're going to be looking at our Father who art in heaven, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And as our Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we will read the Lord's Prayer. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that as we, your people, study your word and hear you speak to us, that our hearts would be made glad in our heavenly Father. O Spirit, work in us, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a deep yearning for the love of a good father. You know, we're wired for relationships, aren't we? We're also wired for authoritative, loving relationships. It's deep, isn't it? I saw Barry, he's talking about his father and those pictures. And the depth of that relationship, often we cannot explain it in words, can we? There's not enough words in the English language to describe the relationship we have with our Father. And I thought of my father this Father's Day. He's been dead for almost 25 years. But still, that deep love lingers. My soul still hears it, senses it. You know, you could almost smell him. He had a certain smell like the bakery. My dad always smelt sweet. And then when he was cleaned up, he always smelt like cologne. But even that scent reminds me that he loved me. But he was an imperfect father, just like me. But we have a Father in heaven. A Father in heaven that loves us. A Father in heaven that wants to draw us to himself. A Father that sent his Son into the world. Because we know that the one speaking how to pray, because his disciples are asking how they can pray. Well, he sent his Son into the world. And his Son is speaking. Well, how should you pray? Our Father, who art in heaven. That's how you should pray. God sent his Son to teach us that we belong to God. That we belong to God, our Father. And every time our lips speak that, our Father who art in heaven, is not God reminding us that we are his children? Our Father. Now we ask this question, how have we been made children? Now, brothers and sisters, that's important for us to ask. How have you and I been made children? How is it that I can cry out to God the Father, Father? Well, we know that the one speaking this prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way to the Father. That in his life, suffering, crucifixion, and death, we have the hope of eternal life in him alone. But that is made real when the Holy Spirit breaks down the door of unbelief and comes into the heart and makes it new. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave. Listen to that word. Makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we come to that reality of Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit takes our dead hearts and makes it alive. Breathes in that life as God did when he breathed into Adam's body and he became a living being. So the Holy Spirit breathes in the breath of heaven in our hearts, and our hearts cry out, Abba, Father! You know, I was on a train in Tel Aviv. And on that train, I was hearing a young man. He was speaking in Hebrew. Now, conversational Hebrew, I have no ability to understand. But I did understand when he said, Abba, Abba, Abba. I said, I know who he's talking to. He's talking to his daddy. He's talking to his daddy, to the one who loves him particularly. See, the Holy Spirit helps us cry out, Abba, Father, so that our affections would only grow for him as our Father, that they would only well up in us and remind us that we are God's children through the precious gift of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit that made us alive. And we know that this Father who has broken into our hearts, who has given us new life by which we cry out, Abba, Father, is a Father who delights in giving good gifts to his children. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, this is Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. If you then, though you are evil, that right there is pretty harsh, isn't it? Though you are evil, he's talking to a Jewish crowd. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If then you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I mean, this is really the chasm is so far and wide, because he says of good fathers, he says they're evil. But what do we know about God's character? He's perfect. He's holy, holy, holy. He's a God that gives good gifts, so much better than any earthly father can give. And our Father gives the best gift, doesn't he? And I think this is important. He gives the best gift imaginable. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Again, this is probably a teaching that he had repeated before on multiple occasions, but he said this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Well, the obvious answer is no, Father, in his right mind. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's important for us to hear. Our Heavenly Father gives the best gift. The treasure of heaven is where? It's in me, by which I call out, Abba, Father. The one who created the universe, the one who hovered over the tohu vabohu, over the hoshek, the darkness, where is he now? Where does he dwell? Where is he hovering? Where is he giving life? Where is he sanctifying? Is that not in your heart? Is that not in my heart? Is that not in the heart of all the elect who have ever existed and will ever exist? And what is there, none other than the creator of the universe? Is there a greater treasure than God? There is no greater treasure than God. The gospel is about God. And he dwells in us. He dwells right here. So when I say, our Father, who art in heaven, I do that because the treasure of God himself is in me. It's in me. It's not just in someone else or somewhere else. It's in me.
And this is a father that will never leave. This is a father that will never die. This is a father who will accomplish all of his purposes. He cannot fail. And what he has promised, he will bring about. That is the father that is living in you by the power of the Spirit. And that should create in us a big amen. He's in me. And unlike my father, he can't die. And he can't fail. And he will never sin. That's a good gift. And why has this Father who is in heaven, who now reigns in me by his Spirit, why has he done that? Because he wants us. Now that makes me laugh. Because wanting John Bothoff, what? I'm thinking, why? Why? Why the worm? Why the wretch that is me? But he wants you, doesn't he? When you say, "Our Father, who art in heaven," what do you fathers want? He wants your children, don't you? You love your children. And who doesn't want to hear from their child on Father's Day? Our Father wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our heart. He wants to hear our struggles. He wants to hear our pains. He wants to hear our joys. He wants to hear our sadnesses. He wants to hear it all. Hey, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. You know these words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The Apostle Paul, in many ways, is saying, be quick about it. Don't be anxious. Your Heavenly Father wants to hear from you. Get busy praying and petitioning and thinking. Present those requests to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants your heart. He wants your burdens. Isn't that what Jesus said? That he wanted our burdens? And didn't he not take our burdens upon himself? The burden of the guilt that was rightfully ours when he took it upon the cross? Does not the cross cry out that reality that God wants us? It does, doesn't it? So when you go to the table and say, "Our Father, who art in heaven," you can pray, "I know you want me." And there's some times where you feel that no one wants you. But God does. And that makes my heart sing. That makes my heart sing. And of course, when I say Father, I am reminded, obviously, that I am dearly loved. Dearly, dearly, dearly loved. And it's important for us to dive into what it costs the Father for us to be his children. You know, our Father gave his only begotten Son to be the sacrifice for sin. Apostle Paul writes it like this in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Graciously give us all things. You remember the story of Abraham taking Isaac up to the mountain? The word of God says, take your son. This is what God said to Abram. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. And what we see very clearly in the word of God is that Abraham obeyed. He took his only son, the son of promise, the seed of promise, that God had promised to him, and he took him up the mountain to Moriah. And the word picks up here. When they had reached the place, imagine that walk, though. Abraham walking with Isaac, knowing the whole time the knife in the sheath is to kill your son. What that conversation must have been like to Moriah, we don't know. But we know the scene, the moment when they had reached the place God said God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his knife and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught in its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The difference is that when God the Father walked God the Son up to Mount Golgotha, he plunged the knife into his son, the knife of his wrath for sin. He was to be the sacrifice. Imagine that. Fathers, the sacrifice of your son for your enemies, for those who have been in rebellion against you since the garden. Your son, your only begotten son. And God, as that song says, turned his face away. How deep the Father's love when he poured out his wrath judgment for sin, our sin, upon himself, his son. How deep is the Father's love for us? Please tell me how you measure it. The universe can't contain it, can it? Oceans are not deep enough, wide enough. There are not enough galaxies to fill. That's how large God's love is for us. And that's why we need to daily meditate upon the cost of the Father's love to fuel the fire for fervent prayer. It's the cross of Christ that fuels the fire of fervent prayer. It's Christ's sacrifice for sin that fuels the fire for fervent prayer. That makes when I say, "Our Father who art in heaven," it totally changes it. Our Father who gave his son for my sin, I now come into your presence with wondrous joy because your love has been poured out upon me instead of your wrath that was poured out on your son. Oh, Father, oh, Abba, thank you. Thank you. You see, the Lord's Prayer can be prayed in a way that's just not repeating just the mere words. Every word, every clause can lead, well, to endless prayer. So rich and deep and high and wide is the love of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we know that nothing can separate us from this love, so that when we say, "Our Father," we know that this love cannot be separate from us. And Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39 declares this reality. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know Jesus said those words that I love to repeat to my own heart constantly. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. Our Father, who art in heaven. Them are sweet words. The honeycomb of heaven upon the tongue of our souls. The sweetness of God's love. The sweetness of being called a child of God. The sweetness of embracing that reality for all eternity. For we know that we will be children forever. We will be loved forever. And so, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, let us pray. Let our fervency to pray, our ache to pray, our need to pray only grow. Because God, our loving Heavenly Father, is listening. He's listening. So cry out. Get on your knees, lay upon the ground, lift up your hands, go for a walk and pray. For God, our loving Heavenly Father, is listening to you and to me. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, how sweet are those words. To pray them back into our hearts, to know that we are your children, adopted through the Spirit, to delight in God the Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, remind us again and again how you want us, you want to hear from us, and how much you love your people. Vex us in such a way that we keep getting up to pray, morning and evening and throughout the day. Stir us up, O Spirit, to cry out, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.